podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I get the feeling that you're admired, but
I'm above average.
Right, guys, and welcome back to Above Average FPL. My name is Adam. His name is Baker. How are you doing, Baker?
Good, mate. Good and much better than we thought we'd probably be.
I'll tell you what, 95 minutes into that game, we would have had a completely different podcast.
we're professionals. We would have taken up the chin. We'd have been fine.
Chin, hardly. We'd have been absolutely fuming. To be fair, I don't think it's quite clear that we obviously got lucky. Let's put it out there now.
Really lucky.
We were bad all game, and yeah, we got away with one. But you know, incredibly, we got away with one there, and we picked up some Reece James points as well, which was a bit
awful people.
Terrible. I did bench some Perisic points though, so deserved. So
deserved.
How's your game week been? Because we're not putting game week ranks up or anything yet. We'll wait until like game week 8, game week 10, something like that, when it really starts to sort of filter through where all the dead teams disappear. So how did your week go so far?
Yeah, it's pretty solid, I think. We had the conversation with Ivan earlier in the season, and we talked about sort of removing some noise. I've tried to really keep off as much as possible of anything that I possibly could, really, because I don't want to start putting myself into a place of panic. I want to make a wild card decision when I think it's the right place to do it. I'm sort of checking live FPL when it refreshes to sort of see what sort of ownerships, what the moves are like that are happening. But other than that, not really checking it. So you said earlier we're on the same score. So therefore it's like, oh,
we're on the same score, same right. Score, same rank, same everything. Yeah. So I'm looking at that though, I'm quite happy seeing as, you know, last week I knew I was behind you just mainly because of the Salah captaincy. Mm. And, you know, I figured that was not a great decision, but, you know, a bit of a punt. Ironically, we should have had Haaland last week and gone with Kane this week would have been better. But, you know, we are where we are now. So that's absolutely fine. We're in a good position for game week 3 and onwards. There's nothing to say that, you know, Haaland couldn't have had 10 points again this week, other than the fact he hardly touched the ball. But he was in the right areas again. So, yeah, I mean, pretty good game week so far. Obviously, we've still got players to play tomorrow night as well. You got three Liverpool, haven't you?
Three Liverpool, yeah. Yeah, so it's the Diaz versus Robertson thing for a lot of people tomorrow, isn't it? They've got them all. A few people have gone to Nunes, to Darwin.
Yeah, I've just got the two, so I've just got Salah and Trent, which is fine. Absolutely fine. Pretty comfortable with that. And, you know, I'm already looking forward at game week 3 and just thinking, like, what do I want to do? What do I need to do so much? Because, like, it was all kind of, you know, roller transfer, do a mini wild card, all this sort of stuff. And I'm looking at my team like, where do I need to make transfers? Do I actually have any fires that I need to put out? And there's a lot of shit going around about, you know, oh, you're rushing to get a 4.5 million midfield. But really, there's not much else to do at the moment because the players that are supposed to be returning are actually returning. So whether that be Cancelo, whether it be Jesus, Haaland, Salah, etc. They're all Martinelli. They're all doing stuff. So like, where else are you going to use your transfers? I mean,
it does mean you're in a good position. You know, my first transfer last season was Simicast to Duffy.
Yeah.
4.0 to 4.0, which was actually, I was doing well, and that'll be the first transfer that I make. So anyone that is thinking it and looking at it, your 4.5 or your 5.0 midfield or your 5.5, that's a really good position to be in. So I don't think anyone should really need to panic. It is an interesting one because I think, you know, we took the punt on Kane and you look at it and you think, oh, everyone's got two transfers. I'm really worried they're going to go after Darwin. And then you see yesterday on Twitter in the evening, everyone's going, oh, I've got to make a move and bring in Josh De Silva. And I'm like, fantastic. You know, that is really good news if that's how you want to use many transfers. Because don't forget that if Darwin goes off tomorrow night.
Yeah, everyone's going there. Everyone's got to go there.
Exactly.
And I can get there. I'm kind of cool. I can get there. I probably have to make a bit of a sacrifice, but I can get there easily enough. So it's not so bad. Half a million in the bank allows me to take Wilson up there. So I can do that. I might have to make a sacrifice that I probably don't want to, but you know, it's okay. I can do it.
There's people out there thinking of pressing the button. We're not pressing the button this week. Yeah. 100%.
No, it's still weird because, I mean, you know, I listened to LR and Ivan chat last week, and they made a good point in that there's not really too many. It doesn't feel like there's any big swings where you go, right, I need to wild card. Or I don't feel like at the moment there's going to be a point where you go, I've got 4, 5, 6 problems in my team, I need to wild card. It's all going to be more about, you know, how can you get best use of it and how can you really attack with it. And I don't think, the thing is, the team, as I said already, the teams that we've had got already doesn't feel like that we really need to change much at the moment because they're doing all right. So I'm pretty chilled about wildcard right now. I'm kind of happy to just to leave it. And I'm, you know, game week 8, game week 9 for the international break is still, for me at the moment, a good point.
I think if you look at the fixtures, everything looks rosy. Game week, like most people, if you look at your team, game week 3, game week 4, game week 5, like the only reds in your team is Liverpool away to Man United. You know, like, we'll get to that. It's not that. It's not that red. And other than that, there's just seas of like greens on the old FDRs. But everything you look at, you think that's fine.
Yeah.
The next change is Europe. And the next change is the midweek game. Yes. So we've got game week 3 is cool. It's just this weekend. Game week 4 is calm, but then the game week 5 is midweek after the game week 4, and then it's game week 6 is the few days after that, and then we're into Europe.
Yeah.
So it might not be the fixtures that suddenly create the issues. It might be the scheduling that changes it. So that, I think if you're in a good position now, you start looking at, well, let me just work out the scheduling and try and see what the clues are later. Don't worry about it other than that.
Cool.
And it might be a good idea that anyone that has got 2 free transfers to go into game week 3, that you might want to keep one.
Yeah, potentially. But that depends on whether people are looking to change structure, obviously, because you might need to just move around.
Yeah.
Because most people are going to be moving from a strength from one position to the next. I mean, I saw tweets about flexibility and stuff. Anyone 5 at the back, they can't really get to a third striker. It's really hard to get there. You need that money. So, you know, people will probably use more than one transfer this week. Yeah, they might just be able to get there in 2, given that they may not have so many fires. So,
template strong, though. I don't know many on the I've got a very template team that have had a bad week this week.
Yeah. No, true.
Everyone's getting about the same. So,
true.
If you want to move, make sure you don't miss.
Yeah. Very, very true. So, cool. Well, hello to everyone in the YouTube chat. Nice to see you all. I've chucked some messages up on the chat. You guys are all doing well, which is great. Ashiraya from Thailand, hello to you. Thailand, Jesus Christ, that's like 3 a.m. Fair play to you. And some very, very regular people in here. Our good friend Dan's in here as always. And Dan, the FPL fan. Mike Halpin, our only YouTube member. Shout out to you, Mike. Good man. Really appreciate you. And yeah, so we're going to go through the games. But instead of doing the admin myself now, I've might have set it up in advance. So have a listen to this.
I'm above average.
Firstly, guys and girls, thank you for joining us. Whether you're catching up with the podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube, or whether you're with us in the live stream, we appreciate every single one of you. And that doesn't matter whether you found us for the first time here today, or whether you're a seasoned follower of the show. Above Average FPL is supported by our good friend Dan. He is at CryptoBlockDan on Twitter. Dan has been in the crypto space for many, many years, doing very, very well. And he's currently working as an analyst with a company who works specifically in play-to-earn crypto gaming. Now, if you're interested in the blockchain, if you're interested in NFTs and the use cases of the technology in the future, then please go drop him a follow. Go ask him some questions. I'm sure he'd be happy to answer anything that you need to know. If you haven't maxed out all your mini leagues yet, there's one more that you can join. That is UAT148. The auto join links are going to be down in the description below. Last year's winner, Jamie Pickett, is in there, so it must be a good mini league to be in, I would say. And we're going to shut entries at the start of the World Cup, so make sure you get in there nice and early and see if you can win it. If you enjoyed the content that you see today, there's a couple of ways in which you can support the channel. The first one is to like, comment, subscribe, and review. It helps us promote the channel and it allows us to reach more and more people looking for weekly FPL content. Alternatively, Baker and I are really looking to grow the channel this year. We've had a great 12 months, but we're looking to take that even further. If you wish to support the channel in that way, you know, we have our YouTube memberships open now. We're looking to do maybe better content, more content, anything that we can make the FPL experience better for you guys. We are going to try and do that. Finally, once again from Baker and I, thank you very much for being here. And now we'll get back to the good stuff.
I'm above average.
Right. Everyone enjoy that? I hope you did. Took me ages to record it. You know, you listen to us all. You listen to us when we're live streaming, or you've listened to our previous podcast. I mean, a lot of our stuff is like one take. So if you hear me and Baker going, then you can understand how many takes that took to record. So for anything, just give the like button a smash now for that. That would be great. So, okay, cool. The games. A lot of goals.
We started in reverse order last week, didn't we?
And we're going to do it again, I think.
Let's do it. Conveniently.
Conveniently, right. So let's get down to Chelsea Tottenham. So my favourite bit about this. Oh, look at that. Dan, the FPL fan, is now a budget enabler. Good man. Thank you very much. Good work, Dan. So, yeah, my favourite thing about this is the fact that Højbjerg is the man on top bonus.
He's always got a good baseline, though, mate. He's always got good baseline. It's always been that way. If Højbjerg's involved, even on an assist, he tends to be in there. But,
yeah.
Wow.
Realise I'm absolutely sweating in here. So hot. Anyway.
While you're sorting that out. So, I mean, I think for Tottenham and Chelsea, really, I cannot talk enough that you should not make FPL judgments off of Chelsea Tottenham ever. Like, it's not a game to judge, you know, and use to apply FPL terms. There's probably the FPL takes that you can take. The only FPL take you can take from it is surely Tuchel sees how much more useful Reece James is playing as right wing back.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my only thing.
At the same time, I messaged you in the first half and was like, well, the fact that he's playing right centre back didn't really make too much of a difference as to his positions he was taking up in attack. He was there on the edge of the box, basically like supporting Loftus-Cheek. So, you know,
it shouldn't scare anyone. Like, just even if he plays there, it's going to be okay. But the fact that we know Fofana's coming in, we know that there'll be times when they might want to play Cucurella at centre back, and they'll play Chilwell. As he's on a 2-year contract, he's not going to play. He will be right wing back most of the time, because when they see that going forward, it's just the way it is. But just in general, like, don't judge Kulusevski, don't judge Kane, don't judge Son as an asset. My only thing with Son is what I think we would say is that I feel like he isn't quite right.
He's as sharp as he could be. I mean, I see a note already about Perisic to start the next game. Thought Sessegnon was particularly poor. However, you know, again, you've mentioned the game. This game has a way of just bringing out the worst in both sides. And you see how that spills outside of the football. And it doesn't matter whether it's Conte and Tuchel or whether it's Battle of the Bridge, whatever it's called, like 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever, you know. Just year after year at Stamford Bridge, it is just can be an absolute bloodbath. And it's just always like
that. The choice of refereeing does not help that. So Clattenburg, if you think back the old one, Clattenburg had history of what he'll do is let things run. And then, hey, guess what happens? It ends up boiling over. And then he gets to make decisions that make him the headline.
Yeah.
But he's caused that to happen. Anthony Taylor does exactly the same. Doesn't want to book unless he has no choice. Like Reece James one, he had no choice but to do it. But bar that, he's not getting his cards out of the pocket unless he needs to. Højbjerg, he played advantage twice after he pulled someone back and then didn't book him, you know. So he really only uses that when he kind of has to. You know, the Havertz one, he kind of had to do it. The Mendy one, he kind of had to do it. But other than that, he tends to just abscond making decisions. It just makes madness. And Chelsea, for all they're going to whinge about it, they did know that would happen, and so they went in with a much more aggressive focus than what we did. And to try and show you that this is like not the same game, so Chelsea had 64% possession in the game, but Chelsea like made 29 tackles. That is a significant amount of tackles for a game where they had 63% of the possession. Yeah. Like, that doesn't happen very often that you end up with those kind of numbers. Yet they only made 19 tackles versus Everton. They had 64% of the possession. So same possession, 50% less tackles. Like, this is not normal. It's a derby. It's frantic. It's aggressive. It's chaos. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of Mount owners that will panic. And they've got Leeds up next. He scored home and away against Leeds next up. I wouldn't panic on Mount right now. He was just playing the game that he had. So, yeah, just from an FPL perspective, I would not panic on those. If you're a Kulusevski owner, yeah, don't panic on it.
I don't think so. What I will say, though, from a football perspective, we were totally outplayed today. Like
in
all aspects, on all aspects of the pitch, you know, Chelsea's. I mean, we pressed for about 4 minutes, and then we had a high XG chance. You can see that first little spike on the XG. It was our first chance, and we thought it was going to come. I thought it was going to start good. Actually, I think after 6 minutes, I sent a message saying,
"Yeah,
we've had no fear here. We look quite comfortable. It's okay." And then suddenly, just everything just died. Right, and it didn't lead to a lot of chances. It didn't lead to a lot of chances for Chelsea, but they just ticked over and just pushed back. And they began to press hard. And they pressed hard. Yeah. They moved the ball quickly. They didn't allow players like Son or Kulu to turn with the ball. And that means Son was turning into corners and just losing out. And just Kante just kills us.
It's no coincidence that we got back in the game once Kante was off the pitch.
Yeah.
It's absolutely no coincidence. But Richarlison shows it, and Perisic showed the class. I mean, those corners, the couple of corners he took, or the cross from the free kick in the corner, was better than anything that the Sun took all day.
Yeah.
So that is another interesting aspect. So if you were a betting man, Perisic start next game?
Yeah. Yeah. I think now, yeah. You know, it was a difficult game, as we've said, to judge, but I think now is the time. I think Cesc showed enough. The fact that he was pulled first from Richarlison and that created a change in complete system as well said that he wasn't in the game. And Conte won't give chances, right? He brought Perisic in for a very specific reason. And that was firstly to, you know, be in that first 11 and to improve Sessegnon. We, you know, we can see that he has a lot of respect and he does like Sessegnon. Perisic is the guy that he went and got.
Yeah.
I can see him coming in and I think he'll come off after 60, 65. But, you know, he didn't make any impact on the game really because the game was kind of just all like, we just had nothing in the game. So
I think the interesting part is the change of formation. So we went to effectively 4-2-4.
It was weird. I couldn't work it out to start with.
Yeah, well, we didn't work it out, but I thought about it afterwards. And so Conte, when he started as a manager, was a 4-2-4 manager. So he did at Bari, at Siena, that was his first formation. He then did it at in Italy. So kind of starting with 4-4-2, evolved into 4-2-4. I just remember Gianni telling us about this. And I thought, that rings a bell, actually. And then, do you remember, then started at Chelsea, went to 4-2-4, wasn't working, got battered by Arsenal and switched to three at the back, and that's been him ever since. But there's a lot of talk always that 4-2-4 is the formation that he loves. It's kind of that's my go-to-war game. We might see that a few times more.
Well, there's definitely options now. I mean, like, we've never had a squad where we could make changes like that. We've never had a squad really where we could make changes that would really impact a game. When you look at the players you have to bring on, it's like these guys won't change a game ever. But the ones we do have now, it's, you know, gives us a better opportunity to do so if we don't need it. And a lot of Tottenham fans, and, you know, even in our group, people are talking about plan B's. Well, here's the plan B. It's coming out now. And it kind of worked. You know, we definitely improved in that last 15 to 20 minutes. Now, we didn't create so many chances, as you can see in the graph, but we genuinely got more into the game. The game actually opened up a little bit. And it gave Chelsea some good chances as well. And you can see high XG chances from like Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Sterling, I think, were around there.
Yeah.
But it opened up the game, which allowed us to, you know, actually get some chances in there. So it was better when they came on. I don't think we'll be any different starting next time round other than personnel. I'm pretty sure the system will stay the same. But
I think I saw a question earlier on Twitter said basically if the manager's banned from the next game, how do you think that might impact?
That's interesting because
it could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even really know what to expect there because Conte does bark from the sideline. He's always talking, but we've always talked about him needing to coach Sessegnon and Royale through games. Maybe this is a game where he goes, right, Doc,
I think Ivan, he's much more likely.
These are the
even Lucas.
I need.
You know, the players that he trusts.
I wouldn't leave Lucas alone at right wing back. God, no.
It could be chaos. But I think probably the only potential change is probably Perisic to Sessegnon.
Cool.
Game and stick with the rest.
So fantasy league wise, Reece James, good at right wing back, fine at right centre back, probably, but definitely better at right wing back. Mount owners, you're okay. Who else do people own?
Kane. Cucurella is an so 5.0 because a lot of people have got, say, Cash and they've got
that'll be game week 5-6
and all those type things.
Game week 5-6, I think you need to wait and see what happens with the rotation through Champions League and stuff, because that just feels like it does feel like you can just go one for one, Chilwell, Cucurella, Chilwell, Cucurella, and there'll be no difference at that point. So
yeah,
I think he'll choose one for one competition. So.
It could do that. Could also be the case. The Europe one, it could end up being ding, 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 ding. I do think harder games will be Cucurella, and easier games will be Chilwell. I think that's probably likely-ish. But I don't think it's the last time we'll see Loftus-Cheek on that right side. He was all right. He played pretty well. Like I said, Mason Mount. If you were FPL owner, you wouldn't have enjoyed that. If you were a Chelsea fan, you'd have come away and said, like, he's just the heart of that team. You know, he put 7 tackles in. Like, that is just huge. He had 20 ground duels.
Someone mentioned they got some points in Sky Fantasy for tackling and stuff like that, which is just unheard of.
So hard. And all of the set pieces went to Koulibaly, didn't they? They literally were just aiming for him everywhere you went. Koulibaly at some point probably becomes an asset.
That's your fault, but yeah, okay.
That is my fault. Can he cover Reece James? No, you still want Reece James, but yeah. There could be a situation where Koulibaly maybe.
What's he, 5-5?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's going to be 5-6. It'll be 5-6 tomorrow, won't he? Probably because he scored.
Yeah, true.
For us, no. If you've got Kane, you keep him now.
Yeah, definitely with the fixtures now. Yeah. The Chelsea game out of the way. Everyone was just. If anyone was picking Haaland, and they were picking that Chelsea fixture and going, I don't trust that Chelsea fixture. So if there was a 50-50 decision, if they were thinking about Kane, that Chelsea one might have put them off anyway. So, which it probably should have put us off, to be honest. But there we go. Cool. Well, we've spoken a lot about Tottenham and Chelsea. I hope that covers everything. You know, we were pretty pissed off with the way the game went, other than the result, I think, in the end, I think is the overarching thing. But I've got Perisic in for next week. You got Perisic?
Yeah.
You looking at anyone else?
Another transfer next week?
No. You looking at any other Tottenham players at the moment? No? Okay.
No. Diaz obviously is tomorrow night, and that might look around, you know, but...
Yeah, but that might... Yeah, you might have to get away from him to come to get to Darwin, potentially. As
yeah.
Well. Which means you can't get to a Tottenham anyway, because you need money. So. Cool. Okay. So, Arsenal?
Let's probably go Arsenal.
He's on the front. He's on the front of the thumbnail. So,
yeah, we've got to cover him. Hey, from a fantasy perspective, we said that Arsenal need to be an over 2xG team.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yep.
Over 2xG team.
Yep.
we do need to do our standard caveat, I suppose. Is that which is playing Leicester?
They're playing Leicester, so they was always going to start at least 1-1. So, you know, that was always. That was always the way. I couldn't believe it wasn't a penalty, by the way.
Yeah, I think that should have been a penalty. I know everyone said, oh, it shouldn't have been and stuff, but he still caught him.
And there's enough. He's going away from goal. And there was Ramsdale had no business being there. There's absolutely no need to be there. Full stop. Vardy's running away from goal. He's at the corner of the penalty area. There's no way he needs to even be there.
I find it odd that you overturn it. Like, if he didn't give it, I feel like it's not. But once you've given it, I'm like... I feel like you should just carry on with it.
Yeah.
I don't think he saw it. What did he see differently when he did this? It's a bit.
He had the same angle, did he not? He was basically looking from behind where he was standing.
Doesn't make sense.
Maybe like 5 yards to the right, where the angle was probably worse than the one that he
doesn't
had.
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense.
It is what it is. They were very good yesterday, unfortunately.
What?
And the difference here that I can see compared to what we've seen in the seasons past is actually the number of high XG chances again, which is
absolutely different. It was like an average of like 0.1 XG per chance or something, wasn't it? And now we're seeing these 0.2, 0.3 XG chances on the regular. That one just before half time when
it was Jesus header at the back post, wasn't it? Easy.
Yeah, that one. He should. Yeah, Ramsdale should have had an assist. He should have put that one in.
Yes.
then it would have been.
Yeah, you'd have enjoyed that.
I would have been. There's only so far you can go, but yeah, I would have enjoyed it. Because once Arsenal were 2-0 off, I'm like, it's okay, because it's like accepted that I've got the Arsenal players all fine.
I said that way too comfortably as well. I feel quite bad about that now.
These fixtures are now really good for Arsenal.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got Jesus and Martinelli, so if you somehow didn't have them,
I'd be wildcarding.
100%.
I'd be wildcarding. It's got to be. You can't not have them. I mean, the tweets are around there everywhere. They are the two most underpriced players I think I've seen in a while. And if you compare that to a couple of years ago when you had a fairly decent Arsenal forward who was priced up as a £12 million midfielder, and I think Jesus is going to outscore him comfortably as well. So, yeah, I think they've got the pricing wrong, categorically wrong. Just get me.
What do you do, though, if you've got Saka? Because you've got Saka, and let's just say you've got Saka as a third attacking asset, and they've got Bournemouth, Fulham, Villa.
I think he's fine.
I think you have to keep him, but I do think we talked about it last week that there's a danger that he becomes a right wing back. That's the danger right now. And even if Tomiyasu was there, he could still be a right wing back, and he becomes really, really isolated. And I looked on the Fantasy Football Scout members earlier this morning, looked at like where the chances are and everything. That is a lopsided attack. So for those on audio and so forth, that the basics of where all of the shots are, they're either in the 6-yard box or they're coming off the left, the high XG chances. That we talked about it, that Sevilla game, that Xhaka is playing as a full number 8 down that left-hand side. He was so involved, so high.
Yeah.
You know, if we could have, if people could have 5 Arsenal players, like, he's an option, but he's never going to be whilst we've all got the opportunity to have some of these other cheap ones. But he's really driving into the box. Odegaard doesn't do the same kind of drive. You saw last week where he got into the box and then wants to pass it. It just feels like everything leads down that left-hand side. That's where you want to capitalise on. I'm not sure about Saka. I don't think it would take a lot to move off him. And then if you look on the right side of this screen,
you won the number 10.
Madison's touch map was higher than Vardy's. Yeah. I got a feeling watching them, even the goal he scored, that it felt suddenly a bit more Son and Kane. Maybe the legs are starting to catch up a little bit on the Vardy. He came off, Iheanacho came on. I would say, if people are looking at things like the scout touch maps, is now we're having lots of late substitutions. There's some noise in a lot of these touch maps where you've got like these light green ones that just sort of turn up. Now, sometimes it's because they're only on the pitch for like a minute. But he was the highest forward player for a team that we always back to score. It was a brilliant finish. His goal.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. No, true.
And they've got Southampton this weekend.
A little bit, actually, but anyway. Yeah. But yes.
It was poor keeping.
And we'll get to Southampton later as well, on why that might be a good idea to go that way.
If there's no fires, I still like the Madison punt this week.
Yeah.
I'm not ruling that one out if I had no other fire this week. But how do you do it when then, like, say if you take Diaz out and then they've got Bournemouth the week after, and it's not like they've got Man United. We've just seen, you know.
Yeah, absolute shit show. Yeah, so they've got United, Bournemouth, yeah, and a couple of home games, Bournemouth and Newcastle, then Everton, which would probably be a little bit tougher just because of the nature of it. Wolves at home and then Chelsea, Brighton. Yeah, so
Madison's leading the line. James Justin is high again. Played 90 minutes, turned up in the box a few times. There's still cheapies available.
Even Dewsbury Hall's really high there, actually. Even he's further forward than Vardy.
Yep, and took a few set pieces. They're these teams, and don't forget, in 2 weeks' time, Europe.
Yeah.
Madison's going to play these games and have no Europe. So if I was wildcarding, I'd just go Maddison because I'd be thinking 2 weeks' time when everyone starts to struggle with European rotation, I'm in.
Yeah.
If I was wildcard, I'd be Maddison all day long.
Cool.
Next game, where are we going? Should we do Man United?
Yeah, let's go to United. Let's flip-flop between the two. Wow, this was just like the best Saturday evening present ever. Like, I was coming back from picking up my daughter, and I was just getting messages from you guys just going, oh my, oh my. And I didn't really know what was going on. Even because I'd left the TV on as well, and even the missus had texted me just with a picture of a football and then a picture of a hilariously laughing emoji. she was enjoying it as well. She thought it was hilarious, and then come back and then she couldn't believe that it was 3-0 and then 4-0. So, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it.
Well,
they just blew them away. They literally just blew them away.
I don't think it's too much different to what we talked about last week. Good manager, good teams doing good things for a long time in Potter, and they exposed them. Good team doing good things. I was really kind of hopeful. The one thing I was looking for was that I noticed that Thomas Frank made all his substitutions, and Thomas Frank also changed. Brendan Rodgers said about the week before that Thomas Frank changed formation twice, and that completely done him. He literally admitted that it done him. And I was like, that's interesting. Like, can you ever back against Leicester? Brentford not scoring? If they're willing to just throw everyone forward, do whatever they need to, it's like, maybe you don't want to have your defenders up against Brentford. But then also, if they're willing to throw everything forward, that's the kind of games where you could see a team put 4 or 5 past them. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out, but it didn't get a chance, didn't need to play out in this game because 30 minutes so in, weird. They're 4-0 up and they've just battered them.
It was so weird though, because each goal had an element of some ridiculous mistake that was involved. Now, the first one I thought was probably the least of a mistake, apart from obviously the De Gea howler. Like, the build-up in the play was good. I mean, yes, they made good press on Ronaldo, good pressure, nicked it off him, good pass to Silva. Gets past his man in the midfield, takes the pot shot, and then obviously horror show. The second and third goals, I mean, just look at the size of the XG on those shots. I mean, literally, they just literally steal the ball from them when they're... See, those patterns of play are very much... You know, we see those for Tottenham. We see those patterns of play where you play in the...
Right, countering.
Yeah, you play the one into the defender, then you play the guy into the midfield. Into the defensive midfielder who's running towards you, and then he clips it out wide. I mean, that's really, really basic stuff. We see it at Tottenham. I just don't think the players... Well, I say don't think the players are good enough to do it. It's blooming Christian Eriksen that was caught short on one of them, at least.
Sure. But
it was just bad. It was just executed badly. Like, the whole thing was executed badly. No one was moving. And fair play to Brentford. They were very, very high press, really strong, just blew them away. And that last goal, that last goal was just a dream. Just a counter attack.
The Tony pass, like, mate, that was absolute. But that's because they gave him the confidence. Those first two goals, if you give a team a 2-0 lead at home, they are going to be like on it. So they suddenly break and they're like, I can try. Ivan Tony's like, I can try this absolute weldy pass. And Bumo's like, there's nothing else happening here, but this is going to go in. And it was just, all of it was like, we're letting this happen. We got him in the chat moaning about Martinez and De Gea and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is, and you're going to get that as United fans. So what is going to happen?
The concern's the manager, mate. Straight away, the concern's the manager, because it's a manager that's then in the interview. This is the bit that I don't like, is that he says, we need new players, we need quality players. And then he says, the players have got to be up for it. No player in the world is going to be up for it if you go into it saying we need new players, we need quality players.
Yeah.
You're literally just saying you're rubbish, mate. It doesn't work. You know, it's almost him saying short term, this is going to be bad and you're going to have to put up for this because actually I can't work what I've got. They're not a bad team, mate. Like, everyone put it on Sky when they put up the old this team cost $500 million and this team cost $50 million.
Like, yeah, yeah. You put them up, match up to match. If you match up the players one for one, I mean, I think the United players come out on top almost every single one, right?
But you don't get them working.
Nah.
You know, Eriksen carried that team to an extent in the second half of the season last season, and they made him look stupid. Like, and then today, the report is that he said, you need to run, start the training or something like by running 14 kilometres because Brentford run 14 more kilometres than you did yesterday. Come on. It's not... Yeah, the problem is they're such a big club.
They are. That this and, is gonna it's be a very different. It's a very different business model at Ajax to United. United, yeah, at the moment, are in... They're in... They're in like this panic mode where they're like, they have to just keep plugging the gap, keep plugging the gap with these players, these multi-million pound players, plug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ajax is kind of a like, you know, they just grow the players from the academy. The players that move into the systems, yeah, that Ten Hag's been playing has just been like, they've just been, and that, don't think that those philosophies won't have been coming through the ranks as well. So, yeah, they're already ready at that point to step into Ten Hag's system at Ajax when they were coming up through the ranks. And he hasn't got that here. He's got a completely different, like, banded together bunch of individuals that he's got to try, yeah, and make cohesive. And it's just, it's very different, which is why I guess it kind of like Mourinho kind of worked with them as well. And yeah, I don't know.
It's
just
painful, man.
It's painful if you're a Man United fan.
It painful enough? You could target him this week though, because it's a Monday night game. There's definitely a protest. There is a protest. How bad that protest gets, whether it ends up in a cancel, you know, we could end up with a cancellation,
no game,
and everybody loses all their three Liverpool assets this week, and we need to all three off our bench. That is a possibility this week.
Yeah.
But if they do play and there's no fans there, like, how do you not captain Salah? How can we go against captain Salah when what we've just seen? And knowing that on Monday night there's a lot of fans pretending not saying they're not going to go, and the turmoil's only going to get worse, and you've got a manager saying all the wrong things.
Yeah.
Do we just all captain Salah and vice captain Jesus? Is that the game?
It's really difficult to go away from Jesus with the Bournemouth fixture. I think that's it. I don't think I could go away from Jesus just because. I expected, I mean, we'll talk about the City game. We'll go to the City game next, actually.
Let's go to the City game next. Because you've got, it's funny, isn't it? I don't think any of us are going to own the Tottenham assets to do it. So therefore, you end up with Monday night, furthest away from the deadline, you've got Salah.
Yeah.
Saturday, you've got Arsenal. I think Saturday, you've got Arsenal. Check the fixtures.
Check the fixtures.
Yeah, 5:30 game on Saturday. You've got Bournemouth, Arsenal.
Yeah, you got Spurs. You got Spurs first game.
So no one's going to want to do that anyway because it's the early game.
No.
And then you've got Man City on the Sunday. So just into it right now. Would you have Jesus above Salah in your picking?
Yes, I would, and it's based on this game. It's based on this game because. We know that the way City play and the way Arsenal play, or the way Arsenal want to play, is very similar to the way that City have been playing in the past, which means that they're good in tight spaces. They're better. They'll be better with a deep back line. And Jesus is very good in tight spaces. We saw that against Leicester. We saw that against Palace as well. I mean, the goal against Leicester was ridiculous, right? The first goal was stupid.
Ridiculous. But,
we saw that against against Palace, where he where Martinelli should have scored after like 5 minutes. Same thing. So as far as I'm concerned, Arsenal will move Bournemouth around a lot, and I think that, you know, we could see a repeat scoreline 1-1. So I think that Jesus is the right captain choice for me this week. Although I do agree that you know the thing with United though, you never know. You might just get a resurgent United. You never know.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Bournemouth have the ability to do that.
It's Sunday night. Caveats for anyone listening to this, watching this, is Salah hasn't played Monday night.
Yeah, Salah hasn't played yet this week.
And we've got our week, and we don't know what this protest is going to be, what's going to go on. We've got a transfer window all week. There's a lot of stuff can go. So what we say now is not necessarily where we're at, but instant takeaways, the early take, as we like to call it, is You're siding Jesus. I'm probably siding Salah.
Fair enough.
City.
I mean, it's really difficult to get any takeaways from this other than Foden started.
And Foden came off,
which we kind of expected. Mahrez got basically 90. Did he get 90? Or 88 or something?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it doesn't really matter what Mahrez gets at the moment. Like, it's so hard to trust that we're just not going to do it anyway.
No. But, you know, but it's the same ones, right? So it's Cancelo, it's Foden's interesting, it's KDB, and it's Haaland.
Do you think that Foden came off because he didn't square that ball?
Did you hear Pep's interview on it? Did you hear his response to it?
I thought when he starts it and he says, hey, he didn't see it.
I thought he's giving him some respect.
He says, yeah, but basically he should have seen it and he's going to be there. We've had these other forwards, but this guy's the man. You need to give him the ball. Yeah, and
just know that he's going to be there every single time. And he was. I mean, he was there. So Haaland owners who haven't seen that, who will see that, will be gutted about it. But
yeah.
And that's it. That's the strange thing about Haaland. He had two passes, right, in the entire game.
Yeah.
One of them was the kickoff, one of them was the assist. Other than that, he didn't pass the ball. He had a couple of other touches, but
the thing is, right, I saw so much about it and I'm like, have you genuinely not watched Vardy for the last 10 years not touch balls?
Yeah, it's true.
Vardy has averaged, I think, I even checked that one. Vardy's averaged 12 passes per match in his Premier League career.
Brilliant.
Doesn't touch the ball. Touches the ball about every 8 minutes. Like, that's okay. Who cares? Just want you to put the ball in.
As long as they find him. That's the thing. Like, that's the thing. Vardy's always been looked for. Like, they always looking for Vardy.
Always looking for him. And if that's what Pep's saying to these guys. You've got to look for him.
Yeah.
You know who he's going to be.
Yep.
Look for him, put it
front
in.
Center.
KDB's just a monster. How do we ever afford him?
You can't afford him. Because then you're basically saying you are going to go threemium and you're going to go like we were struggling to get a threemium with like Harry Kane. Like, you've got to find another $500,000 to get to KDB and get a threemium. And all these budget players are going up in price. It's not the big players so much that are going up in price. It's apart from Haaland. It's the budget ones, which is just making it a bit more difficult. I can't see a time where we're regularly with KDB in our sides. I can see it in free hits. I can see it if people are wildcarding really late and it's like they've got 3 weeks left before the World Cup sort of thing. I could see it if people are working towards... Well, no, I can't even see that, to be honest. I can only really see it in a free hit scenario.
So
maybe
we've got
like
a
game week 15 wildcard. I don't know.
In this, with Foden coming off at half-time, despite the fact, obviously, still hauled.
Yeah.
We had a centre-back come off because they were winning. Once they're 3-0 up, took a centre-back off. We used to do that a lot last season when you had three subs. So that's one to watch, and that's one to watch even more once they stop playing once a week. Makes me slightly anxious. Makes the Edison pick better because he's the one that's not coming off.
Mm.
There's dangers. Gundo? What did it take to go to Gundo? You got made club captain today.
Are you asking me personally? Because I think he's a good pick, but I'm already triple, so he's a no-go.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, I'm comfortable with just points ticking over at the back. Cancelo, 18 points so far. 18 points so far. Edison, 13 points so far. I'm like, what the fuck is everyone doing? Who cares? Like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm just chilling with my points.
There's lots of fun picks in the middle, but... Gundo,
you could do something like
KDB's vice captain, which basically means either Gundo or KDB probably do play every game.
Yeah, I think if you're on KDB, you could make an argument for coming down to Gundo and going elsewhere, putting funds elsewhere, just because. I mean, did you hear what he was saying as well? He was saying exactly the same thing as Pep. about the fact that, you know, he was happy to get a pass for an assist, but, you know, we need to be looking for him more. Haaland again.
He's just such a pro, mate. He's such a pro. But he, the only thing you have to watch, he's the old man of the team. Bernardo's still there.
How old is
he? He's always going to come off.
31?
I don't know. I just think he's old.
He looks old. anyone know how old Gundogan is?
I just think he's old.
You just called him out as being old, mate. They just strangled him. Ilkay, hold on. Ilkay. Where are you? Ilkay. Oh, the first search for Ilkay Gundogan is Ilkay Gundogan wife, interestingly enough.
Oh, they got married, didn't they, when everyone thought they were going away. So they did recently get married. About 29, got FPL voices. No, Dan, the FPL fan, says 31.
He's 31. Yeah, he's 31. He's 32 in October. Fair enough.
Where are we off to next? Villa, Everton?
Yeah, let's do that one.
Get the first game out of the way and then it's ticking some off. So we've got a change of system. Thing is, as soon as we saw a change of system and four changes for Villa, I'm like, Steven Gerrard doesn't know what he's doing. And because it is stupid making four changes in the second game of the season.
Yeah.
That basically says that you've messed up your whole preseason.
Yeah,
effectively what it says.
Oh yeah, well, it wasn't just changes of personnel, it was a complete change of system, it felt like, as well.
Exactly. So, and it is a change of system. I mean, just as a general game, neither team are showing defensive goodness. Like, that's a lot of XG for Villa. That doesn't happen that often. They'll get that much. And it's actually quite a lot of XG for Everton. So was that 2.7 and 1.7, is that?
Yep.
That's big.
It's big numbers.
Any team over two, like, that's normally reserved for the big boys. But that
shaded area is kind of just like the noise that says it could be as high as, or it could be
as high as three.
Could be as high as 3.1 XG for Villa, which is nuts.
Yeah, that is just. But two men up front, he likes it.
But they worked together well last season as well, and yeah, that's the thing. Because I think they'd need to do something like a 4-1-3-2, wouldn't they? It would kind of have to be like the four with the defensive midfielder and then the three that sort of move. It's quite a narrow formation, but then you have got Dina and Cash that do bomb around the outside. They've got quite a good understanding of Watkins and Ennings.
Just a good team player, though. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it?
I was very impressed with Ings' finish.
Ings' touch was a good bang.
Yeah.
Was you more impressed with it because the camera angle captured it really well, though? It made it look better because it was like right behind the goal and it sort of comes straight at you.
Smashed the camera out of pieces. It is like that. But I think from the first, even from the main view that you get, I thought it was a great finish. I just love that. Just finding the half a yard, just the way he finds the half yard and just tucks it out of his feet that second time and just bang. It's like no nonsense, straight past. They were really caught short for that second goal as well. Everton, they were just overloaded a little bit. What questions?
Let's ask the questions, mate. Let's ask the questions. We shall start with Bailey. Do you move him?
Yes. I just think he's too much of a... He's a minutes risk now. We felt in pre-season that he'd done enough to get a start. He started, and they clearly weren't good enough last week, so... Gerrard's gone, well, fuck this, I'll revert back. I just think they were a lot better this week than they were last week, and so I don't think that he'll want to revert back to that three up top.
Yeah.
Which just makes it pointless, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because Bailey's that forward man. He's not the man in behind. He wants to be like the wide forward.
There might be times where the system works a bit, but have we got that? Again, I looked at the old...
Sorry, I just grabbed my beer. Hold on. There we go. That's what you want.
Beer's important, but in that formation, so for Villa, which on the left-hand screen for YouTube, but for the audio people, what you can see is that the two strikers are playing really close together. This is one of those maps where I said about the noise is they made three substitutions in the 94th minute. So you've got like some weird people camped in their own box as they look like you've got four keepers on the Villa place. But the two strikers is the key part, that you've got a real focal point there. And then you end up with like you get a partner for the fullback. So there's like somebody that goes with them, like a 4-2-2-2 type position this becomes, and then you've got two centre midfielders that take that. Now, one of the good things about doing that is up against Villa, they just have no central midfield. They play 3-5 or 3-4-3.
Up against
what they play.
Everton, you mean?
Everton, yes. Yeah. So Everton played 3-4-3. And Tottenham have this struggle that if, you know, when they play that sort of 3-4-3, is that teams that overload the middle can cause a lot of problems. You know, Kante and Jorginho did that with Mount dropping in as being another centre midfielder today, caused loads of issues. They did that to these. So there might be a time where it's like, hey, the system works more that we want to create more width, that we want to play someone like Bailey, but I don't see the point. I don't think there's any room for it. I think you just get rid of Bailey. If you can find somewhere to go for it, but if Bailey was a starter for you, I wouldn't go to a 4.5 for a starter for him. I would be more tempted. I think Andre Gomez from Everton will go to 4.4 this week. I'd be tempted to just take him.
Just bin him off.
Bin him off completely.
We've all got playing benches, and we've all got a lot of points in our bench. If you speak to Dan, the good man that supports us, you look at his bench, Perisic, Nico Williams,
Neco, we had in this week.
So, we've all got points on those bench. Has anybody had any points come off the bench yet?
Nah, exactly.
Like, so who cares? So you have two guys on the bench and then take your 4.4.
Yeah.
Or your 3.9 defender, whatever. Well, no, people are saying too much value in the defenders. Fine. Take your 4.4, whether it's up front or whether it's in midfield. I think midfield feels like the most sensible place at the moment in terms of positions. Yep. Take the 4.4 and move on.
But you'll probably have to wait till he goes to 4.9 to get 4.4. But you get a few more days to work it out, and then you can wait for the press conferences, see what happens, and work all of that stuff. I think we've got a comment on our YouTube said that that Gomez feels a bit shit. Yes, he is. What we're saying is that, like, we're literally saying is you're never going to play him. Just take the money.
Take the extra 0.1 and move it on to someone like, let's say, a Haaland that's gone up 0.1. If you didn't have that 0.1. You have that 0.1 now. If you need to get to Josh De Silva, maybe.
Everton, look, what you would say is a lot of the XG for Everton was at the end when they're chasing a game. That's kind of natural.
Yeah.
You know, they score to get them back self to 2-1. They're going to overload. They're going to score. They're going to try and score some
more. I would also say that they're probably a bit unlucky that, well, obviously Gordon's offside goal, which was probably like 0.95 XG, was...
Yep.
Is obviously not being shown here as well. So they did create some chances in the first half.
They did. I am Anthony Gordon curious, as we like to hear that now, as a potential Neto change for this week. I'll see how we go, because it might be better to just leave it, move on. But I think Anthony Gordon, I've seen a few people say Tamari Gray might be an option as well, but I like Gordon. And I wouldn't rule out that Gordon's got pens.
Yeah. We don't know. But I mean, I still don't trust. I mean, if you can have any trust in that Everton front line, I'm still not sure Frank knows what he's doing with that front side of that attack anyway. So Sky have just said Chelsea have made a 40 million bid for Gordon.
40 million. I've seen a 50 million as well. So that's the other thing you've got to kind of keep an eye out for.
I can't go near that attack. They've put up 1.5 XG against
mate. I've got a Wolves attacker, mate. So, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a step
I did
down.
Try and warn you about that pre-season, mate, but you know.
Oh, well, you went Bailey, mate, and that's worked out well. Like, the point is these guys are that cheap for a reason. Let's talk about someone that is more interesting at cheap price, and that's Rodrigo, which is a little bit more. 6.1.
Let's do that. Although what I will say is I saw our good friend Simon, Mr. Analytic FPL, say that he thinks that Sinisterra is just going to come straight back in and Rodrigo is going to be the man that drops out, which seems kind of bizarre. He's just bagged a brace. He bagged a goal last week as well. Like 3-2. Feels
I think we said he scored 4 goals all season last season. He scored three already, but he was lively pre-season. He's lively at the moment. When it's lively, these are good opportunities to get on. The Benrahma situation,
well,
it was.
There's your 0.1. You need 0.1 to get on him as well. So, you know, he's 6.1. So
that's the issue. Now being at 6.1, it's like, if you've got, say, Rashford, there's some people that got Rashford. If you've got Rashford, I think he's the obvious move. If you was on wildcard, would you put Rodrigo in?
Um, I mean, you could. I think I would. There's enough. I think there's enough fun there. I mean, I wouldn't fancy it for next week, but
no. I don't really like the West Ham game. Although
the next week's Chelsea.
Is it Chelsea next week? Sorry.
Yeah. Next week's Chelsea. Then Brighton.
Don't like it.
Even Brighton after that.
Who's it? Who's got West Ham next week? Is that who am I thinking of there?
West Ham next week. That would be.
That's Brighton. It's other cheapo. Yeah. Christian, it's the other. I'm going to call him Christian Gross. That was our old manager.
Oh God,
Pascal Gross.
Yeah.
No, I don't like the game necessarily for either of them. So I think you could still wait a week on both of those. But Leeds are putting up good numbers. Leeds are still leaking lots from their fullback positions. And still allowing big chances. That's the thing when you look at this map of XG, the chances conceded are big, which means they're coming from central areas. You can keep targeting.
And they're not far out.
Yeah, I sent you not far earlier out. That the old shots map for this one. And
this one right here?
This one right here. Look at the shot map of where they're conceding. They're conceding way too many big chances. So when I was looking at this, the red means it's a significant chance, certainly. Keep letting them in. I think Southampton will change shape. They went to four at the back at the end, and he said something like they know what they're doing. That and you're like, why have you done this three at the back all pre-season? You haven't actually got any good wing backs. Like there was no good reason for it. Just go back to four at the back. Play James Ward-Prowse and somebody else alongside him as holding midfielders, and let these fun guys that you brought in like. Aribo and just get them playing.
I think it was all about Hasenhüttl dropping the waistcoat, to be fair. You see him tucked up in his nice club polo.
It was nice.
Very smart. Very smart. Definitely game change when he made those substitutions, though.
Yeah.
Huge change.
I don't think you can go near a Southampton asset, though, can you?
No.
I think that's absolute.
Mara looks good. I mean, look, Mara's pass for Kyle Walker-Peters.
That was nice.
That was nice, wasn't it?
We
all focus on FPL, but you just got to appreciate the level of quality on that pass.
You just like when someone does those like inside
KDB
kicks,
makes those
like,
all the time.
Like, so nice,
lovely.
So yeah, you're not seeing those from Stuart Armstrong, mate. that's not happening.
No.
So I still think if you've got attacking again, Mount owners. Yeah, this is a good fixture, for them. Madison, Vardy. Those type of players against Southampton.
Yep.
Good fixture
indeed. So let's move on. Where are we going next? Sorry, I was just having a look at how
we've
many
got any
goals
other got goals in. To talk about from anywhere. Forest West Ham today?
Yeah, let's talk about Forest West Ham.
And then we've got 2-0 left.
Then we've got Brighton Newcastle and Wolves Fulham. Yeah, cool. Forest West Ham. I think this does tell
the
story.
How did they get a clean sheet, mate? Like, genuinely, how did Forrest get a clean sheet today?
Dean Henderson, mate.
He's a good keeper.
No, probably should go. United need a new keeper.
Yeah.
That joke hasn't been made at all this weekend.
Not at all. Not once, not at all. You know, a madness goal. Like, ridiculous. It's just rebounded off his shin. Yeah. I loved it. The commentator tried to big it up and said, like, he's live and aware. I wasn't aware. It literally kicked it into his shin and it went in the net. Like, it generally had nothing to do with it. It's silly. I mean, it gets a load of XG because it's come up like that.
Because it's come off his knee from 6 yards out, right in the centre of the goal. Yeah.
Ridiculous. But West Ham. Do you mean West Ham? God, I don't want to say this because I feel like we're going to cause issues with being as we're Tottenham fans and it'll sound like it. But do you think West Ham in trouble?
No. No, I don't think so. Look, I mean, 2.1 XG here. They were unlucky. What do you call that? Bad finishing? Come against like a good keeper?
Bad finishing. It's Jared Bowen.
To be fair, it's one of those.
Did not look the player.
No, but it's one of those that you'll go. We did this all the time, right? We used to do this all the time as Tottenham fans, right? We used to sit there and we go, okay, we're going to Newcastle. Shea Given's going to have his best game of the season. Ben Foster at Watford. Mm. Like, Ben Foster, no, we go to Watford. Like, we've not got no chance. Ben Foster's going to have his game of the season. And he's wasting time from like the 15th minute. And then he makes 1,400 saves and we lose 1-0. Like, that's the kind of thing that I think West Ham fans will look at this game and go, Dean Henderson's had an absolute madness. It is what it is. We've created a lot of chances. That's good. Europe could cause them a problem.
Yeah.
Again. Fine, they managed it all right last year, but I don't think they're in trouble. What's trouble though? Like, what's trouble? Are you saying like 12th is trouble?
I think once they got Conference League and all that stuff, I would say maybe not top half.
So like top half is below top half, bottom half is trouble.
It can easily be that way, can't it? It can easily get that way.
Yeah. I think there's a message here saying West Ham need a striker. I mean, Antonio's what now? 32?
Well, they've 33? Got Scamacca. They've literally gone out and spent £40 million on him.
They don't play him, not yet.
Brought him on for 20 minutes, whatever. But when you look at players on the bench, like, well, they played Darren Randolph and Ariola on the bench. So they had two keepers on the bench again today. Harrison Ashby, Flynn Downs, Connor Coventry.
Yeah.
They just bought a Burnley guy, Cornet, who went down. I'm like, it's not strong.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge Cornet on Burnley's result. I think he's a good player. We need to see more from him. He got injured.
You can't go a world with Ben Johnson at centre back. They've got to do some business.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's only so long you can rely on Bryce and Souček in centre midfield. You can't just run permanently on two centre midfielders for the rest of time.
No, and they're like these weird centre midfielders that are just they are these traditional box to box that do a lot of the defensive work, not much of the attacking work, and kind of just move the ball in and out. They're like a much, much better version of Harry Winks type thing, but two of them and taller.
I mean, Declan Rice is probably a slightly better player than that, mate. We should probably agree overall.
He was good. I had to give him some credit.
But not penalties. I've never worked out why I don't just give it a Cresswell and just let him bang it.
Let him just smash it, old Julian Dix style.
Like, yeah, I just never understood why they don't do that. Yeah. I don't think you can go anywhere near their assets at the moment. Nope. I think their fixtures get better in a few weeks' time, but at the moment they're not. Neco Williams.
Just bench.
I'm still not ready to start him, mate. No, I still don't think I'd start him.
Just bench. Just bench. Take the points on the bench. Just be happy you've got points on the bench, because when you need them, they'll be there. Basically. Yeah. And he's very lucky to get an extra 4-5 points here.
Mm.
Right. So
we've got two left. Brighton, Newcastle. Yeah. You've got Callum Wilson.
Gone. Gotta be. It's just got to. Just the fixtures now. I mean, and to be fair, look at that XG chart. Now, he should have had 6 points.
They battered him, mate.
He still should have had six points. I'm not having that as dangerous play.
No, that was stupid.
Bullshit.
That was stupid.
Bullshit. Give me my 6 points.
How did? I mean, two off the line for Brighton.
Mate, there are two words. There are two words that sums up this weekend, and it is Nick Pope. It started the weekend as Nick Pope. It's ending the weekend as Nick Pope. That's just.
Should we leave it at that for Brighton Newcastle?
I think we have to talk a bit more on it, because Brighton were really, really good.
Brighton are good. Lewis Dunk's back, absolutely bossing it. 7 clearances, 2 interceptions, like smashing it up. Joel Veltman's playing very, very well as a 4.5 as well.
But they were just everything about the way that Brighton was playing was just excellent. They were able to press really high.
They're on it.
And they were creating problems in the midfield by like Welbeck dropping in, just nicking the ball. Number of times that happened. And
it worked
that if you win the ball high up the pitch, you know, it creates chances. The thing that Brighton have always had, it's always been a problem at Brighton, is they can't fucking score. They just can't score for some reason.
And Gross could be an asset. Yeah. He could be. He's up there. They haven't got that many other options for it. Kind of always the extra man in the box, seems to turn up in the right places. Probably on pens.
Yep.
Yeah. 4.5 keeper, Sanchez, Raya, or Henderson, if you had to go one. Or would you spend the more money on Nick Pope?
I would go with Raya.
Fair.
Just the fixtures are too good.
I still think we haven't fully established who the keeper is at the moment. Still feel like we haven't quite got there.
Oh, what? Who the 4-5 is?
Yeah. And that also is one of the things that puts me off on the wild card front is I don't know who I'd put in goal.
I'm just happy with Edison, mate.
You're just happy you're Edison, mate. Yeah, You're just sitting there like, I don't care about all the keepers you're talking about.
I've got the keeper from the best team, best defensive team in the league, so I couldn't give a fuck.
You haven't got the best, though, so far this season. And Jose Sarr, God, his transitions.
Oh, love this. Oh, guess what? He saved a penalty.
Saved a penalty.
This is the problem, is that Edison cannot save penalties because the teams don't actually get into the Man City box.
He's not getting any save points. He somehow blags a one bonus. You've had your one for the season. That's not happening again.
I'll take it. Ward Neveson.
I saw loads of people that benched Mitro in game week one and then played him in game week two. I love it.
Was he minus two this week?
Minus two, minus one, and minus two.
He got booked as well for that little altercation with Gibbs White as well at the end. So
what a man he is. What a beautiful trial.
How often do you see an XG jump like that with no goal at the end?
Yeah.
It just never happens.
We'll find out later minus in the week, one. But I think Pereira, I saw something about it just being exhaustion or something like that, the reason why he went off at the end. Another reason, one of these Josh De Silva things. If you had Josh De Silva and you've got Pereira and they're both fit and it's Fulham at home to Brentford, which one do you play if you had to play one?
I would probably... Fulham at home to Brentford, I would probably play Pereira.
Yeah, I would still.
Introduction to Damsgaard is interesting because we don't know what that means for players like De Silva.
Correct. I'm in the same boat.
I'm not there to shout, oh, he's had two shots in two games, 0.02 XG, he scored a goal, he's bad. I'm not in that camp because he's 4.5 million, so who gives a shit? He's cheap.
Like, Pedro Neto. Pedro Neto's getting no points, is he? It's never going to happen.
Bad attack. I mean, fine, they're putting up one XG against Fulham, but they're putting up 1.2 XG against Fulham. At home. That's so bad.
Yeah.
Like, that needs to be two. That needs to be two and a half against one of the teams that should be going down.
And the badness is there's enough people with Pedro Neto that if he doesn't return against Tottenham, he will definitely get a price drop.
Yeah.
Because somebody within game week three or so many people will wild card and then not put him in their team that he's going to go. So he's my consideration at the moment. I think Neto to Gordon is where I'm at for a move. Quite a dull one.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think we want any talk about anyone else in this team.
Don't think so, no.
Move on. Done?
Done, mate. I've just had a little slide here for game week for considerations. And to be honest, we've actually talked about them already. So empty Old Trafford, definitely something to consider. And talk of, obviously, you know, it won't be empty because it's Man United and you cannot stop tourists from going. You just can't. They don't care.
The only thing about it, though, is that the place that they're talking about gathering is the Trinity, which is the statue out the front of the stadium.
Yeah.
Now, if they're out the front of the stadium and that protest is big and that protest is strong,
then people can't get in
and police have to come out.
Yeah,
to be involved in it. It just creates potential chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think, having already had that situation before, I would not be surprised if they made them forfeit the game.
True. I mean, you never know what stupid things people will try and do to make things like this happen. You can almost imagine there's going to be certain threats that will happen as well. Because there will be a couple of stupid people like we had in the last time it happened.
Yeah, there will be some stupid people.
I don't want to quote what might happen because I don't know whether that would get this whole video taken down. But
it could do.
potentially, yeah. Those
you've
sort
got
of
to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to keep an eye on it. There's a hashtag. That's what I would say. There's a hashtag MTL Trafford. I think you just keep searching on the hashtag and start looking and seeing what you're seeing and see how much noise it gathers over the week. You'd like to hope the fact that it is out now, we've got 8 days to find ways to stop that from happening.
Yeah. The only other thing I had was Conte. With him not being on the sideline, how does that impact Tottenham? Barking orders. But
let's deal with it when we see it. But I still think the it's an early game. I think we'll get some information.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yes, there is definitely that option. So early thoughts. So you're saying captaincy is thinking Salah next week? Obviously, yeah. Things can change. Manu, Liverpool play tomorrow night, so things could change.
Yeah.
But
And then transfer-wise, Diaz is still an option. It would probably be Madison if I went somewhere. But then you look after this week, and you're like, I'm not so sure. Like, yeah. I think I'd end up just moving him on. But maybe that's the play. Maybe I should be looking to rotate those 8 million guys. You know, after this week for Leicester, you've then got away to Chelsea, home to Man United. Well, home to Man United. but you then look at it and Liverpool got home to Bournemouth, home to Newcastle, and you're like, I want a piece of that. But then you've also got City, home to Palace and home to Forest. We need to try and find out a bit more about this Foden business. You know, is it that he's on the naughty step? Because if he's not on the naughty step and he's starting Crystal Palace and Forest, then again, fine. There is part of me that says, why am I chasing these guys at 5.5 wherever when it's...
Will you not just go Gundo then? Will you not just go Gundo for minutes and safety?
You could do.
Club captain.
I love Phil Foden, though.
So well, much he's going to break the line more often, isn't he?
It feels a fun pick. I'm not against the fact that I would potentially go, I'm going to chase around these 8 millions and go. Yeah.
I do feel like Foden and whoever plays on the right, you know, they're going to be looking for wide and then into Haaland. You're less likely to get Gundogan getting balls into Haaland, which ends up in a finishing chance. I mean, we saw one where he found him on the edge of the box, which is where he might be more likely to get an assist.
Yeah. I just, watching the amount of space that Benrahma got up against Neco Williams today, I was like, if that's Foden in game week 5, that could be big. Mm. And Palace just haven't had a right back in the last 15 years. You know, target Joel Ward was a thing for a reason.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so the left winger for City in 4 and 5 feels to me like a great asset. It's just how do you ever jump off having a Liverpool midfielder?
Yeah, that's so hard. Because you've got to think about the points that will come at the back of it as well. Because you'll miss points. That's the thing. You'll definitely miss points. So. Yeah, I think Bailey and Wilson are on my hit list. That gives me 13 million to work on to get midfielder and striker. So, because I've got 500,000 in the bank as well.
Yeah.
So that's my extra half.
Well, let's see what Darwin does and whether he breaks the game tomorrow night.
Well, if he does, I'm screwed because I can't do 9 plus 4 million midfielder.
We'll find a way.
it's a minus 8 if I have to do that. So I'm not really keen on taking a minus 8 in game week 3. But, you know, maybe we will.
I feel like we're calm. I feel like we're in a good position. We're calm on a Sunday night. Everyone should be calm about their point.
Yep.
Even if you're like, the gap between 1 million and 2 million and whatever it is, it's so, so little. If I put my ID in quickly, because I haven't looked at this all weekend.
Come on, mate, we're on timer now, hour and 15 minutes.
And doesn't it tell you like how many to the next gap it is?
On live FPL, yeah.
Yeah. So I am on, right, how many points are we on?
124,
we both are.
Yeah,
which is what, 1.7 million?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, and 164 points is 5K.
So 40 points.
Like, 5K? that's ridiculous.
What I will say on that thing, I don't know whether, did I say it earlier or did I just say it to you before we started, is like, EO, all this sort of jazz, at this point in the season, is completely pointless. I said it when we were talking about our ranks and stuff, because... it doesn't matter because everyone's going for, there's people playing for the August prize of the month where they want their laptop and their goodie bag and all this sort of shit. You know, we're not competing. Well, if you're listening to us, you're probably not competing with the same people that are trying to do that sort of stuff. You're not in the same area as people who are just looking for the best, like 3 week score or 2 week score, or I want to get my name in lights at the top of the, you know, when somebody goes into the app and they click on the high score and they go, oh, I can't believe they triple captain I've called him Christian Gross now, Pascal Gross in game week one, all this sort of stuff. So, you know, these EO percentages on the top 10K and all this shit, game week one did make a difference, because as you said last week, it's about engaged managers, right? We wanted to be the first to get a low ID so that it's easier for us to go into all of these third party sites. That's why we did it. This week, who cares? Because you've got 15,000 bench boosters who get in game week one. You've got 25,000 triple captainers in game week two. You're going to have people on wildcard next week, and you have people on free hit the week after. Who cares?
Who cares?
Just chill out. Just do the moves that make sense. Come to game week 6, 7, 8, and then start thinking about it. If you're outside of the top 4 million in game week 8, you know, you need to start moving up. But before then, even game week 8 is not really a big deal, 4 million, because you can be 100K by the World Cup anyway. So,
I'd like to talk just briefly, as one second, about Lamar Strauss in our above average league, who's currently on 108 points for the game week. With a Jesus captain and Rodrigo in his team.
Why would you want to talk about it? Do you want to talk about it specifically?
Just want to say, well amazing? Done. 108 points.
Banging it.
Only man to turn it up. Shout out, Lamar Strauss, if you're... That's big, isn't it? That is a big, big, big week. Yep. Fair play, mate.
Yeah.
But things, mad stuff happens early on in the season. Don't worry about it.
I will say that, and to sort of justify my point, the guy that's top of the league, Isaac, thank you very much for joining our league. Bench boost game week one, free hit game week two. That's the level. That's what we're dealing with. So, yeah, Isaac, shout out to you. Top 10K, well done. And
but madness. People do all sorts of mad stuff in the first few weeks. Yeah, and just naturally, over the next few weeks, you probably will get green arrows and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking at Isaac's history now. He's never played the game before. So cool. He'll learn. He'll learn next season. And yeah, I guess a final point, we just hit 9 million players in the game. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Massive. Right, so I think that is everything. Are we all good for now?
We're good, mate. Let's go let's go rest up for the week.
Go to bed. All that stuff. So, guys in the chat, thank you very much for joining us. As always, if you're listening on the podcast, thank you very much as well. We really appreciate every single one of you, as I said earlier on. If you have enjoyed the stream tonight, if you've enjoyed the podcast, give it a like, review, rate, subscribe, all the good stuff. YouTube membership's there as well if you want to support us a different way. We really appreciate it. We will see you next week, I guess.
See you next Sunday, mate.
Catch you later, mate.
I'm above average.
Social Podcast Network.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.